safe around water is drilled into us as Australians. Swimming lessons are one of those things that most of us tick off before we go to school. You go to the local pool, it's not uncommon to see babies as young as a few months old splashing around with mum and dad. But once kids reach primary school, we often assume they can swim well enough and leave it. Many schools don't offer swimming lessons, and COVID meant that many of them were cancelled altogether, and lots of kids never went back. Well, now advocates are calling for older children to get back to swimming lessons because there's been a spike in drowning deaths in people between 10 and 20 years old. I'd love to know from you when you got your kids or grandkids into swimming, but to help us understand why these numbers have surged, I'm with Dr. Justin Scar, who's Royal Life Savings Chief Executive Officer. Justin, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks, Tegan. Thanks for having us.
Talk me through these statistics and what we're seeing.
Well, quite tragically, we monitor drowning pre and post the pandemic. During the pandemic, we were sounding the alarm that many kids missed out on lessons, and if they didn't get back, then we're likely to see drowning, not in those immediate years, but well into the future. And we're starting to see increases in drowning in children, young adults, actually, between the ages of about 15 and 24, there was a 38% increase. And we're sounding the alarm, like it's really a significant problem that will track those children into teenagers, into young adults, and follow them all through life. The consequence of not being able to swim in Australia is not just drowning and drowning risk, but it's also missing out on some wonderful pastimes.
I'm thinking about that age group, 15 to 24, a time of life where people maybe are more risky, more like taking more risks, and that layered on top of perhaps lower swimming skills sounds like a really dangerous mix.
Yeah, we know that around 50% of children leave primary school unable to swim 50 metres and float for 2 minutes. And we would say that's the absolute minimum. And the reason we highlight that as a minimum is that those children at, say, ages 9, 10, 11, they're still under the supervision of parents. When they hit 15 or so, they're out and about in the local community. They're hanging out with their friends and peers, and peer pressure often plays a role. And if water is involved, that might involve jumping off a bridge. It might involve jumping off a cliff. It might involve swimming in an unpatrolled location, such as a river or at the other end of the beach. And swimming skills really are fundamental to water safety. And so if they don't have those skills, they're likely to be that teenager that gets themselves into trouble.
Man, if I hadn't had good swimming skills at 15 and all my friends are jumping off a cliff, I would have jumped anyway. There's no way I would have revealed that weakness in front of friends.
Absolutely. It's usually the third or fourth person in that gets themselves into trouble. If you only have to look at what's going on in TikTok or Instagram lately, and children are really trying to enjoy their local environment, but they're taking significant risks around the water. I guess, years ago, generations ago, many of your listeners would understand that this was absolutely mandatory. Our schools did all the heavy lifting in terms of swimming lessons. We went year on year. In high school, we went through swimming and life-saving activities. We were diving for bricks. We were jumping in, swimming in dad's pajamas, learning all sorts of great survival strokes. Much of that is not happening anymore. And there's two factors at play. One, parents and grandparents are doing a wonderful job for very young children. Swimming lessons now are much more likely to happen under the age of 3 than they are to take place over the age of 7. Parents invest early. They spend a lot of money, but they're forced to give up. They feel like they've ticked the box of swimming lessons at 6 or 7. And so, our research showing that high school kids, around 40% of them or so, can't swim 50 metres in year 10. This is sort of, desperately frightening. And that's why we are urging parents particularly to opt for that second dose of swimming lessons before the end of primary school, before it's too late, because they will be out and about without you. And those swimming skills are the things that will keep them safe.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, talking to Dr. Justin Scar from Royal Life Saving about an increase in drowning rates among teenagers and young adults. A lot of the driver seems to be that they missed out on pandemic-era swimming lessons and then never really returned to the pool. Well, also with me is Julie Zancanaro, who's a paediatric occupational therapist and runs a swim school in Sydney's western suburbs. Julie, listening to what Justin's saying, does that track with what you're seeing in your work?
Absolutely, Tegan. Sadly, we are seeing more and more children at an older age with less and less skills in the water. And you mentioned that As a teenager, you would have jumped off the cliff anyway. And I guess as a swimming teacher, you know, it's so true. And that really, really is a concern for us that, you know, once that peer pressure kicks in, if children haven't got the skills, you know, they're going to get in situations that could be really dangerous. And the problem is, though, that that peer pressure also translates into learning to swim. Mm. So if you're an older learner and you don't yet have the confidence to submerge happily or realise that you can keep yourself up in the water or that you can, you know, swim a few metres often is all it takes when you fall in, you know, just to turn and swim to the edge to climb out. If you don't have those skills, that's the same thing applies. They'll often not want to reveal that to their peers, so they'll avoid then participating in the swimming lessons to get the skills, if that makes any sense, and avoid learning altogether.
How have you adapted to that? Are there ways that you can teach older children? Is it different to teaching younger kids, I'm hearing?
100%. I think, you know, once kids get around, you know, older than seven, so if you get an 8 or 9-year-old who still hasn't got those basic skills, and we talk about, you know, Justin has done wonderful work through Royal Life Saving Australia and set up this, you know, these benchmarks. And we talk about a benchmark for 5-year-olds of being able to swim at least 5 metres and being able to float independently and be able to pick up a ring from a metre deep in a pool. So those really basic foundation skills. And if they haven't got those at a young age, then we need to really look at how we're going to catch them up so that they'll participate with their peers. And they really need some privacy. They need teachers who understand that they learn differently to younger children, a little bit more like an adult setting where they want to be with their peers, they want a little bit more privacy, they want other people watching them, they don't want to be in the pool with younger children. And so it really gets hard to program for that in busy swim schools. And Australian swim schools are so busy. Mm. They are so at capacity across the country that if we're not providing it through schools, it becomes really, really difficult.
Here on Life Matters, it's Life Matters here on ABC Radio National, and we're talking about swimming lessons. There's been a peak in, a bump in teen drownings, and I want to hear from you how you've approached swimming with your kids. Naomi says, my kids hated and eventually refused swimming lessons sooner than I would have liked. My understanding was that this was because of the emphasis placed on stroke style for speed and competition rather than, as I had as a kid, water safety and survival. Naomi says the emphasis has changed too much. Another says, please campaign for schools nationwide to reinforce swimming lessons right to the end of primary school. Not all parents can afford to provide swimming lessons. Well, Justin, what is the picture in terms of schools and swimming lessons across Australia?
Look, there's a patchwork of policies in place. Some states do exceedingly well, provide an entitlement through the school systems pretty much for every year of the school year. So, for example, South Australia and Western Australia very much lead the way. Other states provide funding to the principal, and the principal determines whether or not lessons are provided. And it's a bit of a tipping point. Like, as more and more children, particularly older primary school children, are unable to swim, the cost of those lessons increases. So, you know, one of your callers has sort of talked about the way of teaching and the tension between perfect freestyle and water safety. And there is a sort of a transition that needs to take place. And we need to emphasise, as Julie said, making it fun, making it enjoyable. And some of the traditional swimming and life-saving activities that we've been teaching in high schools for many years are sort of that sort of vehicle to balance out the broad-based skills that you might need to go, you know, sailing or kayaking or snorkeling, those sort of skills, rather than focusing on zooming down the lane.
Julie, a question here from the text line asking, what's the distance a teenager should be able to swim to be considered competent?
Well, I mean, competency in what situation? Competency in the ocean compared to competency in a pool is quite different. But definitely the benchmark is that, you know, they should be swimming 50 metres as a minimum for a 10-year-old and be able to float for 2 minutes. If they haven't, though, had the basic skills before that, you're going to find that really difficult to achieve that in a 10-year-old. So it's progressive. You need to be building those skills, you know, as they get older. But absolutely, every 10-year-old in Australia should be able to swim 50 metres and should be able to float 2 minutes minimum.
How do you have conversations with kids about this if you realise that your kid is one of the ones that maybe missed out, that, you know, they're starting on the back foot and they're at a stage where they are self-conscious? Julie, do you have some tips on how to have this a conversation with a teen?
I think the key is what Justin just mentioned about how it's used in Australia every day, you know, how we use our swimming skills. You know, it's not just about competitive swimming. It's not about, you know, swimming freestyle, backstroke, breaststroke, fly up and down a pool. It's about being able to go out in boats with your friends. It's being able to, you know, jump, not that we want them jumping off cliffs, Deegan, but, you know, it's being about being able to participate in fun at the beach, in fun camping as you get older with friends if you're near water. So, you know, having conversations with them about, you know, would you like to do stand-up paddleboarding at some stage? Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't you like to be able to go fishing, you know, with your dad and your uncles? For all those things, you need swimming and water safety skills, and that it's very much part of our Australian lifestyle. And that if you don't have those basic skills, you know, there might be some things you miss out on as you get older.
Justin, what's going to happen for us as a nation if we don't address this?
Look, we'll be putting life jackets on our adults. you know, we will be avoiding the water constantly. There'll be half society that sort of really enjoys and maximises our wonderful environment, and the rest of us are left to hang out in cinemas and shopping centres, to be somewhat cynical about it. Mm. I think the local pool is really critical to this. Julie runs a wonderful swim school in northwestern Sydney, and those schools are booming. They're doing a wonderful job, particularly for young children. We need to make use of the local pool. It's about 500 pools under significant pressure across the country. I'd urge people, parents, grandparents, to take their older children to the local pool regularly across summer, because it's not always just about lessons. It's also about exposure, getting them familiar, having them just swimming on a regular basis in a pool environment, and then introducing them to those open waters slowly. We're seeing a number of migrant families and communities embracing swimming lessons. So if you come from a background where perhaps you don't swim, it's still really important that you get your children into lessons, and you might find that there are adult learn to swim available in those settings as well for you.
Justin, Julie, thank you both so much for joining me. Dr. Justin Scar is with Royal Life Saving. He's the CEO there. And Julie Zancanaro is a paediatric occupational therapist who runs a swim school in Sydney's western suburbs.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.